Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling a really fundamental puzzle. How do these massive AI language models actually work?
Right.
You flagged some fascinating research from Anthropic, this paper on decomposing language models into understandable components.
Yeah, that's the one.
So our goal today is to unpack what this tells us about why it's just so tough to understand LLMs right now, and, well, the genuinely exciting steps being taken to break them down.
Exactly. We're surrounded by these incredibly powerful models, right? But the core question is still, how do they do what they do? Unlike, you know, traditional software, we don't give them explicit rules. They learn from just colossal amounts of data.
Billions of parameters getting tweaked.
Billions, and adjusting all these internal settings. And we understand the basic math, you know, neurons doing simple arithmetic.
Sure, the building blocks.
But that leap from those simple calculations to complex language understanding, it feels like a huge unexplained jump.
Okay, let's dig into why this lack of understanding is such a big deal. I mean, if you don't get how something works.
Fixing it is tough.
Right. How do you troubleshoot it? Especially something this complex.
Precisely. And with LLMs, this opacity, it has real consequences. How can we be completely sure they're safe, reliable?
Especially when they sometimes, you know, go off the rails or say weird things.
Exactly. Or produce inaccurate stuff. How do we fix that if we don't know why it happened? How do we even make them better effectively?
We're basically dealing with these super sophisticated black boxes.
Mm-hmm.
We see the amazing output, but the processing inside, hidden.
It's like you said, knowing every gear in a watch works, but not quite grasping how they all mesh together to actually tell time.
Yeah.
We need to get past just the output.
We need the inner mechanics.
And this is where this Anthropic research offers a potentially, well, groundbreaking shift in perspective.
Okay.
Maybe we've been looking at the problem at the wrong level. Yeah. For years, it's been all about the individual neuron.
The single unit.
Yeah. But this work suggests focusing just on single neurons might be limiting our view.
Now, this is a part that, you know, you listening might find particularly insightful. The research introduces this idea of features.
Right, features.
And these aren't single neurons. They're described as patterns of activity across groups of neurons.
Yeah, think of it like musical notes forming a chord, different neurons firing together in specific ways.
Okay, like a team effort.
Exactly. A linear combination, mathematically speaking, and these features seem to represent specific concepts the model has learned.
So how did they find these features?
They used a technique called dictionary learning. They applied it to smaller transformer models, still complex, mind you, just not the absolute biggest ones out there.
Right.
And in one really cool example, they looked at a layer with 512 neurons.
Okay.
Using this dictionary learning, they decomposed it into over 4,000 distinct features.
Whoa, wait. 512 neurons turned into 4,000 features.
But almost eight times as many. And these weren't just like abstract math concepts. No, these features corresponded to really specific things. DNA sequences, legal language patterns, HTTP requests, even things like Hebrew text or nutritional information.
That's incredible. And those specific things were hidden if you just looked at the neurons individual.
Pretty much, yeah. The individual neuron activity didn't clearly show these concepts on its own.
So how did they check if these features were actually meaningful?
Well, they did some really neat evaluations. They had human evaluators blinded compare how interpretable these features were compared to single neurons.
Yeah.
And across the board, people found the features much easier to understand. It was just clearer what these patterns represented.
That makes intuitive sense, actually, trying to pin down one neuron doing who knows what versus seeing a consistent pattern light up for, say, legal docs.
Exactly. And they also did this clever thing called auto-interpretability.
Okay, what's that?
They used a large language model, like GPT-4, to write short descriptions for the features they found in the smaller model. Then they tested if a different LLM could predict when a feature would activate, just based on that description.
Ah, so could the description predict the feature's behavior?
Precisely. And again, features were much more predictable this way than individual neurons. It suggests even the LLMs themselves sort of recognize what these feature patterns mean.
Okay, so the features are more interpretable, more consistent, but just finding them isn't the end goal, is it?
Not at all.
The paper mentions targeted steering. That sounds like control.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is where it gets really interesting for potentially controlling these models.
How so?
They showed that by artificially activating a specific feature, deliberately making that pattern fire, they could nudge the model's behavior in predictable ways.
So like turn up the legal language feature?
Kind of. Imagine having a dial for legal language, or maybe turning down a feature associated with, say, generating biased text.
Wow, okay. That feels much more direct than just hoping the training data fixes problems.
It's a much more targeted approach, potentially. Instead of just relying on massive data sets for steering, you might manipulate these internal learned concepts.
That's a significant shift.
And here's another really crucial finding. These features seem to be largely universal across different models, at least models trained similarly.
Universal. So the same features pop up in different models?
To a large extent, yes. This is huge news.
Why huge?
Because it suggests the insights we gain from studying features in one model might actually apply to others.
Ah, so the work isn't just single model specific.
Exactly. It's like discovering fundamental building blocks. The effort understanding one AI brain could unlock understanding across many. That could seriously speed up progress on safety and reliability.
That makes sense. Like finding a basic principle in physics applies everywhere.
Kind of like that. And they also found something about resolution. By adjusting how many features they search for with their dictionary learning,
they could change the level of detail.
Right. A smaller set of features gave a kind of high-level, coarser view of the model's thinking.
Okay.
While looking for a larger number revealed more subtle, fine-grained properties. It's like having a zoom lens for the AI's mind.
So you can get the big picture, then zoom in on the specifics. That sounds incredibly useful for handling this complexity.
Definitely.
Now, okay, this initial work was on smaller models, promising, yes. But what about the giants? The big frontier models powering everything now. Scaling this up sounds hard.
Oh, it is. It's a major challenge. The researchers are upfront about that. Applying this to models with billions or trillions of parameters is a huge engineering lift.
But they think it's doable.
They seem optimistic. They suggest the main bottleneck now is more about the engineering, building the tools and compute to handle the scale, rather than a fundamental flaw in the science itself.
And didn't they actually manage a big step up recently?
They did. That's the next exciting part. They successfully scaled this up dramatically.
How dramatically?
They extracted millions of features from a middle layer of Claude 3.0 Sonnet.
Millions. From Sonnet. That's a production model, right?
Exactly. A real-world, state-of-the-art LLM. A massive jump from the earlier, smaller models.
Wow. So what did that look like? What kind of map did they get?
An unprecedented conceptual map of its internal state at that point. And importantly, unlike the somewhat simpler features in the toy models, the features in Sonnet showed much greater depth, more abstraction. It really reflected Sonnet's advanced capabilities.
So not just simple words, but complex ideas.
Absolutely. They found features responding to things like bugs in computer code, discussions of gender bias, even sensitive topics like secrets being discussed.
That's way beyond basic pattern matching.
Far beyond. And they can even measure a kind of semantic distance between features.
Meaning?
Based on how their neuron activation patterns overlapped. This let them find clusters of related concepts like near Golden Gate Bridge feature. Features for Alcatraz Island, the Golden State Warriors, the movie Vertigo, all San Francisco related things.
But the model built its own internal knowledge graph.
It suggests a structured understanding, definitely. Not just a random soup of neurons.
And crucially, manipulating these Sonnet features also changed its behavior.
Yes. That confirmed these features aren't just passive correlations. They actively shape how the model represents and uses information.
Which brings us back to control.
And safety. They found features related to harmful stuff too, like scam emails.
Ah, so you could potentially identify and maybe neutralize those harmful features.
Oh, that's the hope. Using this detailed understanding to improve safety by targeting the internal mechanisms of harmful behavior.
This is all incredibly promising. But the research also digs into why just looking at neurons was so hard. These ideas of polysemanticity and superposition.
Right, those are key concepts.
Okay, let's break those down. Superposition, that's the idea that the network uses fewer neurons than the number of concepts it needs to represent.
Exactly. It crams more features, more concepts into the network than there are neurons by using combinations of neurons for each feature. Think of it like trying to play more notes on a piano than there are keys.
So one neuron has to participate in representing multiple different things.
Right. It's efficient for the network, but makes it super confusing for us trying to interpret what a single neuron is doing.
Because it's doing multiple jobs at once.
Precisely.
Wow.
And that leads directly to polysemanticity.
Polysemantic meaning. many meanings.
Yep. A single neuron ends up responding to multiple, often unrelated concepts because it's part of multiple different feature patterns.
Like that example neuron they mentioned that fired for academic citations and Korean text and e-web requests.
That's a perfect example. That neuron isn't about any one of those things. It's just part of the different circuits, the different features for each.
So no wonder it's hard to assign one meaning to it. So how do they get around this polysemanticity?
They use a specific tool, a type of dictionary learning algorithm called a sparse autoencoder.
Sparse autoencoder. Okay.
The goal here is to extract a larger number of features than neurons, hoping that these extracted features will be monosemantic.
Monosemantic, meaning representing just one clear concept.
Ideally, yes. The sparse part means that for any given input, only a few of these features should be strongly active, helping to isolate the specific concepts being represented.
And did they find evidence that these features were more monosemantic, more focused?
They found multiple lines of evidence, yeah. When they looked closely at individual features extracted this way,
they saw
highly specific responses. Features that fired strongly for things like, say, Arabic script or DNA sequences or Base64 strings or Hebrew text, but not much else. And crucially, these weren't tied to single neurons.
Okay, that sounds much cleaner.
And human analysis backed this up too. They took a random sample of features and asked people to interpret them. They were significantly more interpretable than individual neurons.
In the automated analysis, using LLMs.
Same result. The LLMs found the features easier to consistently interpret than the neurons. It all points towards these features being more focused units of meaning.
That's pretty compelling. And what about universality? Did they recheck that with these sparse autoencoder features?
They did. They trained two identical models, just with different random starting points.
Yeah.
And they compared the features found in both. They found a high degree of similarity, a median activation correlation of like 0.72 for features. Compared to only 0.46 for neurons. So the features were much more consistent across the two models.
Which really reinforces the idea that these features are capturing something fundamental about the learned representation, not just random chance.
Exactly. Not just artifacts.
Okay. And then there was this idea of feature splitting. What's that about?
That came up when they increased the number of features they were trying to extract.
So looking for more features
caused some existing broader features to split into multiple more specific ones.
Like zooming in further?
Kind of. So maybe a general feature for Base64 encoding might split into one for Base64 letters, one for Base64 digits, maybe even one specifically for Base64 encoding ASCII text.
Ah, so you can get different levels of granularity in your understanding.
Exactly. It suggests we can analyze the model's representations at different resolutions, from broad concepts down to very fine details.
That's fascinating. And it sounds like these features don't just exist in isolation. They can connect and work together.
Yeah, this was another incredible observation. They saw features connecting in sequences, almost like little finite state automata.
Like simple programs.
Sort of. The activation of one feature makes a particular next word or token more likely.
Which then triggers another specific feature.
Exactly. Creating these chains of behavior. They saw this leading to complex stuff, like generating structured HTML code or representing conversations in IRC format.
Wow.
They even saw hints of feature groups that seem to work together to basically memorize specific phrases.
It's like discovering little subroutines inside the model. But the crucial question, is this structure really learned by the model? Or is it just reflecting patterns that were already in the training data?
That's a great point, a really important check.
How did they test that?
They took a model and randomized its weights, basically, scrambled its brain so it hadn't learned anything meaningful. Then they ran the dictionary learning on that.
And the features they found?
Much less coherent, much less interpretable, just didn't make much sense.
Okay, so the learning process itself creates this meaningful structure that the features capture. It's not just mirroring the data.
That's what it strongly suggests, yeah.
Yeah.
The structure emerges through training.
So after all this, decomposing layers, finding millions of features, how much of the model's actual work can they explain with these features? Do they have an estimate?
They do. It's still an active area, but in one experiment, they estimated their features could recover about 79% of the loss reduction provided by the MLP layer they were analyzing.
79%. So a big chunk, but not everything yet.
Exactly. It shows they're capturing a substantial part of what that layer is doing functionally, but there's still more to understand. Still room for refinement.
Okay. So pulling this all together,
yeah,
for you listening, what's the big takeaway here? What does this all mean?
Well, I think this research really offers a promising path forward. a way to actually start understanding the mechanisms inside these LLMs. Mechanistic interpretability, that's the goal.
Moving beyond the black box.
Right. By shifting focus from single neurons to these more interpretable features, we're getting better units of analysis. And that could eventually lead to safer AI, more reliable AI, more controllable AI.
So it's not just academic curiosity. Decomposing these systems has real practical implications for building better AI down the line.
Absolutely. It's seen as a major step, maybe a foundational bet, for long-term AI safety. Understanding is key.
But clearly, it's not solved yet. Lots of open questions remain, I imagine.
Oh, for sure. Scaling this effectively to the absolute biggest models, that's still a huge challenge.
And figuring out even better ways to measure interpretability.
Exactly. How do we quantify how understandable a feature really is? And what are the full implications of this feature universality? Does it hold across totally different architectures? Lots to figure out.
So, to leave you with a final thought, could this discovery of seemingly universal features be hinting at something deeper?
Deeper how?
Like maybe a fundamental structure in how language, or maybe even intelligence itself, gets represented. Something common regardless of the specific AI model or the exact data it saw.
That's a fascinating, provocative thought. Are we uncovering not just how this specific AI works, but something more fundamental about representing complex information?
It certainly gives us an amazing glimpse into the mind of an AI, doesn't it? And clearly, there's just so much more to explore there.
Absolutely. It's an exciting frontier.
Well, thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.